My greatest enemy is my flesh. The old Bill wants to do damage to born-again Bill that wants to serve the Lord. As Paul talks about, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I should do, I don't do. What do I find within me? Sin. That principle of sin, the one who wants to do right. You see, that's my great enemy. So I look at this and I say, Lord, pulverize to dust, crush, stamp out in the mire of the streets this old Bill that wants to draw me into a place of compromise.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Our hearts begin to worship. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel 22 and 23.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
These last chapters, beautiful last three chapters, you find that really even at the end of David's life, I think somehow we think as we get older, we get so settled in the things of the Lord, it's like we are just sages. As the Bible says, the gray-headed, wisdom comes with a gray head. Not necessarily, not every gray head. I pray that God would give wisdom to me, you know, eventually when I get gray hair. But I don't know why you're laughing at that. In my mind, I'm still got this, anyway. But you get the picture. But, you know, basically it means when you get older, you should be wiser. And David, even though he's older, he still goes off track. I mean, the Lord gets him back on track, but it's kind of a sad ending to David's life. A sad ending in one sense, but then God turns that to good because he actually pays for Mount Moriah or the Temple Mount. There's a big controversy who the Temple Mount belongs to. Well, David bought it. The Jews bought it. It's really theirs, and that's what we see tonight. But as we go through this, now chapter 22, you find David, it says in verse 1, David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so this is a beautiful song or psalm because you find it with just slight variations in Psalm 18. If you put them side by side, you go, wow, they're both the same. And so likely David wrote this, not necessarily at the end of his life, but this is a psalm he wrote possibly after the death of Saul, after he gained the kingdom, but he's rejoicing in all that God has done. It's a summary of his deliverances and the blessings that God had upon his life. And so I think quite often David probably rehearsed this psalm. As maybe he went through one trial and came out of it, he would probably recite this again because it really speaks of how God delivered him. I think it's good for us to maybe write our own songs or our own diaries or ledgers where we write all the great things the Lord has done and rejoice in it. You know, I've done that, and you look back on it, and you go, wow, God has done great things. And then you might go back to it and just reminisce on the great things that God did. Well, he goes in verse 2, he says, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, thou dost save me from violence. Notice there is defensive weapons and offensive weapons, places to hide, strongholds. Remember, he was in those caves of Adullam hiding out at times from Saul. And then God is his shield. That's a defensive weapon, but a sword. He went up against his enemies, his rock. Hey, remember that rock that he slung right into Goliath's forehead and knocked him out, then cut his head off? Well, he's rejoicing in how God has been all this to him. And what great symbolism, great illustrations of who God is. He says in verse 4, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God, and from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. So notice as David, he's just using this beautiful language. I mean, language, when I try to pray or I try to use it, I can't think of it. I can't think of all these wonderful things. That's why he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. You see, when I pray and I try to go to this kind of language, I go to the Psalms. I put myself in David's place. I don't think you could use words that are more powerful, more illustrious, more beautiful than what David is using. And so I just say what David says to the situation in my life. And I see that God comes through, God delivers. And notice how he says he came from his temple and heard me. He's talking about heaven. God is hearing in heaven. Oh, God does hear us from heaven. And notice he says smoke, verse 9, went up out of his nostrils. Boy, what great metaphors. And fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. And he rode on a cherub and flew. And he appeared on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies upon him and a mass of water, thick clouds of the sky. Notice it's like the answer of prayer is like on the wind. I don't know, the wind has been pretty strong lately. I know because I'm almost checking the wind to go up stand-up paddling, and it's been pretty, you know, some of the wind's been, you know, like 23 knots and upwards. And so when you think about a gust of wind, maybe 50 miles an hour, it's like he's saying God came, he flew to me quickly on the winds, all that he's using this beautiful, he rode the cherub and flew. The cherub is the angelic being, and he flew to him. So he's using all this heavenly language, this beautiful language. From the brightness, verse 13, before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them. Lightnings routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare by the rebuke of the Lord at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies, from those who hated me, and they were too strong for me. Notice David is talking about so many different aspects of trials and tribulations and enemies that came upon him. He's picturing floods. He's picturing waves that have come. When you think of all these, I mentioned Goliath, but you think of Saul. You think of the Philistines that had it out for David. You think of his son Absalom, all these torrents that were stronger than he was, and yet he recognized the Lord as the one that delivered him out of all of those. And that's why I think it's really important for us to maybe journal, or maybe whatever you might want to call it, a diary. And you can write these things down, and as you're going into those difficult floods and those torrents, as they're surrounding you, as they're upon you, and you're writing out the desire for God to hear and deliver you, maybe even using the Psalms. And then as you go on and you look back, then you rejoice that the Lord did come through for you. And that's what David is saying. These things were too strong for me, and yet the Lord came through. He delivered me. They confronted me, verse 19, in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. Now, David isn't bragging. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord did delight in David, and David knew that. I think one of the most powerful truths for a Christian is to have the assurance of God's love and God's protection. You see, if you're always wavering in that and wondering about that, that is a hard place to live. David was confident that God delighted in him. And notice it says he rewarded him for all his righteousness according to the cleanness of my hands. You might say, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, David wasn't that clean. I know some of the things David did. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband Uriah killed. I mean, he lied to Ahimelech at Nob Hill, and it caused the death of all those priests. I mean, David's hands weren't clean. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. His hands were clean because he confessed his sin. He came to the Lord, and the Lord forgave him. Your hands are probably clean right now, aren't they? But were they dirty at one time? And when they were dirty, what did you do? You washed your hands, didn't you? So you can come and say, hey, look, Calvary Chapel, my hands are clean. Yeah, but I bet at one time they were dirty, especially when you were working in the garden, maybe working on your house or on the car, and then you cleansed your hands. You see, it's the same way with our heart. It's the same way with our spiritual lives. David kept short accounts with the Lord. And so he can say, according to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed, or, you know, he came through for me. He rewarded me. For I have kept, verse 22, the ways of the Lord, and have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless toward him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind thou dost show thyself kind, with the blameless thou dost show thyself blameless, with the pure thou dost show thyself pure, and with the perverted or crooked thou dost show thyself astute or twisted or crooked. In other words, with those that are not, you know, really walking with the Lord, those who are crooked in the things of the Lord, those that are not walking right with the Lord, the very plain things, they can't even understand them. It's an amazing thing when you see people who, it's like they don't have a clue. Something that is so simple, so plain, and it seems like they're not even living in this world. Well, you see, that's what he's saying here. With those that are crooked in their ways and in their thoughts and in their pattern of their life, crooked toward God, then God will be astute, or he will be crooked with them. Those things that are so plain, they won't be plain to them. They will be, in a sense, hidden. They won't be able to understand the most simple kind of things. And I like what David is really saying here. With a kind, he shows himself kind. With a pure, he shows himself pure. Because David developed a kind streak in him, didn't he? He became very merciful when he went through all these hard times, these suffering times. You see, if you're going through a real hard time, an afflicting kind of time, you know, as you let that work its work in you, it's going to make you a kinder person, a more compassionate person, a person that is empathetic toward others. Remember when Shimei, when David at his lowest point was cursing David, get out of town, you man of blood throwing rocks. And one of David's mighty men said, let me go over there and take his head off. And David said, what do I have to do with you, son of Uriah, or son of Jehoiada? I forgot who he was the son of, but what if I have to do with you? If God's told him to curse me, you know, maybe God will be kind to me. And then finally, when David regained the kingdom, came back, and Shimei was there, and he said, oh, please pardon my iniquity. And they wanted to put him to death, and David said, no, we're not going to put him to death. And he forgave him. You see, when you go through those hard times, it really softens your heart, and you become kind, and you become merciful, and you become everything you weren't before you went through that hard time. And so here is David. It's a great, you might say, autobiographical sketch of this man, David. He goes on in verse 28, and thou dost save an afflicted people, but thine eyes are on the haughty, whom thou dost abase. Notice God is opposed to the proud. Six things the Lord hates, yea, seven. One who has haughty eyes, or that proud look. You see, that's one thing that the Lord has abased, or the Lord really abases the proud, because Jesus was the total opposite. He was the complete opposite of proud. So when we find pride rising up in us, we really need to say, God, please forgive me. I don't want to be like that. I want to be more like you, Lord. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by thee I can run upon a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless, and the word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? Who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Have you ever seen those ibex, those mountain goats? Have you ever seen the cliffs that they walk on? They are like 60-degree cliffs. It's amazing. You can see them there. You can wonder, how do they ever stay on that cliff? You see, that's what David is saying spiritually that God does for him and even for us. On that steep place, that place that could be a precipice and we could easily fall and, you know, be wiped out. No, the Lord is the one that makes us stand there. And also the battle, standing strong in the battle. Notice he trains my hands to bend a bow of bronze. Now, bronze is a metal of strength. And what he's saying is God gives me strength. Bows were usually made out of wood, but they would put bronze on it to strengthen the bow. And it would be very hard to pull the bow back. They didn't have all the little gears and stuff they have now. When I was a kid, I had a 35-pound recurve bow. I was just a kid. It's not a very powerful bow. But, there were some bows that were like 100 and some, you know, pound bows. It means the pressure that releases the arrow. But they had all these gadgets, all these wheels, so that you can pull it back, and it's very easy to pull back because of the gears. It's like riding a 10-speed. You can go up a hill, you know, and it seems so easy because you gear it up. But if you put it in the high gear or the low gear, then it's really hard. Same with a bow. If you didn't have those gears on, it would be really hard to pull back. And that's what he's saying. It's a bow of bronze. You give me strength to pull that bow and shoot that arrow, but also bronze is the metal of judgment. So you give me strength for my enemies, and you judge the enemies through me. Your enemies through me is really what David is saying. Thou hast also given me the shield of my salvation, and thy help makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. In other words, God just expands the ability, David's influence, and he expands the territory that David has influence over. And I think that's great for us in ministry, when the Lord just expands out the ability for us to reach out and do great things. That's what he's saying, enlarges my steps. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed, and I have devoured them and shattered them. so that they do not rise. And they fell under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. Thou hast also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Now, they would really actually look to foreign pagan gods, and then when they, out of desperation, looked to the Lord, it wasn't for real. You know, they would use all kinds of gods. Remember when they captured the ark? They put it next to the god Dagon. They thought, wow, we can have extra strength here. Now here's the God of Israel next to Dagon. And then Dagon fell twice. First of all, the palms of his hands, then his head fell off, in the presence of God. So God's saying, those enemies aren't going to use me to deliver them. He says, then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. Notice, totally obliterating the enemy. You know, when I read this, I attach this to my own life. And when I think of the enemy, I think to me personally, the enemy of my flesh. Whenever David talks about his great enemies, and you can talk about the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Philistines, the Canaanites, and you know, those enemies that are out there, those physical enemies, I don't know if we have too many enemies, our next door neighbors, our boss, or I don't attach it to that myself. You know, I'm not, you know, that much amiss with people I know. But my greatest enemy is my flesh, is the old Bill. The old Bill wants to do damage to my spirit, the born-again Bill that wants to serve the Lord. As Paul talks about, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I should do, I don't do. What do I find within me? Sin. That principle of sin, the one who wants to do right. You see, that's my great enemy. So I look at this and I say, Lord, pulverize to dust, crush, stamp out in the mire of the streets this old Bill that wants to draw me, you know, into a place of sin or in a place of compromise, who wants my mind to trip out on certain things that it shouldn't. Lord, this flesh life. And so that's how I use that, and I identify that in my own life.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel 22 and 23. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel 22 and 23. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.